Thanks so much for joining us today on the Ideas Network. Larry Mueller here. Well, COVID-19 is impacting our finances in many ways. A new national survey shows that one in five households in the U.S. had their income cut or stopped altogether. Oh, man, tough times. With us by phone today, Peggy Olive has some help. She is a financial capability specialist, holds a joint appointment with UW-Madison School of Human Ecology's Department of Consumer Science, the UW Center for Financial Security, and the UW Division of Extension. And talk with her about how to make it through difficult financial times and, of course, answer your questions as well. So what financial problems are you facing right now? What questions do you have about meeting your financial obligations? Join in the conversation. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Already one caller online, but still there's a line for you at 1-800-642-1234. Or you can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. And Peggy Olive, thanks for joining us today.
Yes, thanks so much for having me on to talk about this topic, especially at this time.
Yeah, it's unfortunately perfect timing to be talking about this. What advice do you have for those who have, you know, I mean, no income? And there are lots of people out there like that.
Yes, yeah. Right off the bat, I want to say that UW Extension has created a COVID financial resources website because the resources and the supports and the website links, we're constantly updating them, I'd say, every few hours. So right off the bat, I just want people to know they can Google UW Extension Tough Times and look for those resources.
UW Extension Tough Times.
Correct,
okay.
Yeah. So right off the bat, and then, you know, it's so easy when people are feeling stressed out to just start to shut down, feel overwhelmed, and that's all completely understandable. And I would also encourage people, if you haven't done this yet, to just sit down, you know, get out a piece of paper, or maybe you already have this on a computer or an app. Just calculate what your current income will be or has been or money you have in the bank, anything like that that you can tap into at this point, and then come up with a list with your current bills. I mean, that can sound a little overwhelming when you're looking at, you know, zero and then all the different bills you have coming in, but at least that gives you the place to start.
Yeah, it's a place to start and kind of... All right, where am I? What can we get through? And it's one of those times when, you know, most financial experts say, oh, you should always have three months of income in your bank, you know, savings account or whatever that you can draw on. But there's a lot of people who simply don't have the means to do that. They have less income than... And it's really impossible almost for many people. Those people with less income or no income, mm-hmm. we've taken a look at our bills.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we go from there?
So take a look at your bills, and you can start prioritizing those bills. You know, start with that kind of food, shelter, utilities. So prioritizing which bills are most important to take care of. We have our housing, maybe it's the rent or the mortgage, utilities, food, health insurance. You know, start with those, and then maybe it gets down to the car loan or credit cards or doctor bills. So you can start by prioritizing just to have a good handle on, you know, which bills are most important to me. So if for that next $1 that does enter my household, where's that money going to go? And I do want to say, you know, something that is different from what we saw with the Great Recession is that this past week and this past 2 weeks, there are a lot of resources and moratoriums being put in place just to help support people these next 30 days or 60 days when you have no money.
And the site UW Extension Tough Times is keeping up on all of the, you know, the latest developments in terms of the, you know, government announcements on money that's coming out and so forth.
Yes, absolutely. We have links. It's set up so if you have a question, like, you know, where do you start if you think you can get unemployment benefits? And we have links. So, for example, with public service utilities, they've extended the moratorium. So for the time being, there will be no shutoffs if you get behind on your electric, your gas. That also now includes water. So if you have been disconnected, there's no reconnection deposit required. So, I mean, if people have that on their list of what to keep up with, know that the that's covered for the time being. The only caution I would get out there for some of us out in the rural area is you might belong to a service cooperative or private service. And so the best thing you can do is just pick up the phone and contact your cooperative, whether it's your electric or your phone, just to find out what policies they might be putting in place. Yeah. So, you know, utilities, you can kind of check right there.
Yeah, it's always one of those times when you don't feel like making that call.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's the best thing to do is to make the call. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, anyone, even just listening to your news break, everyone is in the same boat.
Yeah. Yes, we are. Christina in Glenwood has a question for you. Oh, let's go there. Hi, Christina.
2 weeks ago, we refinanced our mortgage and we cashed out some money for unexpected emergencies or repairs. And I put the money into a money market. It's $200,000. And the money market is earning 1.10%. I'm wondering if you have any other advice regarding that.
Well, I appreciate Christina calling. And I want to be clear, I'm not a certified financial planner, so I'm not here to give like investment or savings advice. Having that money in a safe place, the money market is a great place to have it. The government had recently announced that they were going to take steps, the Department of Treasury, to shore up money markets since mutual funds are not protected by the FDIC. So, I mean, having that money just in a safe place is a great place to start. And then, you know, depending on Christina's needs and their goals and what their financial situation is, if they are looking to invest that money, you know, as they say with the investments, there's a great sale in the stock market. So, really looking around for any other types of financial products that would help meet her goals or her needs.
Yeah, it's a tough time. You know, the market lost, what, 35% or something, stock market? So
yeah, it's up and down every single day.
Every single day, yeah. So there you go. Christina, where it's sitting now is at least that's safe from the sound of it. So you might want to talk with your financial planner about other potentials, but at least you've got something, you got your money in a safe place. Susan in Wauwatosa, it's your turn. Hi, Susan.
Hi, good morning, Larry. Love your show. Have a question for your guest in regard to IRA accounts. I understand that the government has moved the tax deadline from April 15th to July 15th. Normally, if you want to make an IRA contribution for the previous tax year, so for 2019, I would have until April 15th of 2020. Do I still have to make it by April 15th, or do I have more leeway because of that tax extension? And is this tax extension also for the state of Wisconsin? Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for calling.
Yes, great. Thank you, Susan. I will start with the tax extension since that really affects all of us. And yes, the 90-day tax extension until July 15th is for filing taxes and paying any taxes due for both federal taxes and also for state taxes. So you are fine with delaying any of that filing. And in terms of the IRA deposits, you know, I have not seen any announcements or anything to extend the, you know, being able to contribute to your IRA and having it go into the previous tax year. So Susan can, you know, dig around a little bit more, but I am skeptical since I have seen nothing put out You can check at irs.gov, but there has been nothing aside from extending the actual tax deadline.
Yeah, that I haven't. Certainly, there haven't been any general news announcements that I've seen. So,
no.
I guess you need to check around a little more. But if you've got money, you might have to consider that first deadline, that April 15th deadline.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks, Susan. Appreciate it.
Andrew
in Green Bay, it's your turn.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on and taking my question. I have a couple friends that recently refinanced their home, and they were signing the paperwork. They signed it earlier this month before all this stuff started happening.
Yeah.
But they have yet to hear back from their bank about closing on it. I'm wondering, has there been any news about banks delaying signing off on home refinancing? And if not, what can they do about it to sort of get things moving along, because it's causing them some big stress?
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. There has been no, official hold or nothing put out in terms of instructions to any of our financial institutions, any of the banks, any of the credit unions. So whatever that delay is happening might just be, all of the upheaval that's been going on. Suddenly having the financial institution people have some working remotely or being able to distance themselves. Some of our financial institutions are also coming up with emergency short-term loans. So it sure could be that they're prioritizing some of those emergency loans to their customers. So there really has been nothing, out there by our Department of Housing in terms of that would affect any closing dates. So I would just encourage them to, keep working with their financial institution if they have that one contact person to call and to try to come up with some kind of deadlines, knowing that, it's hard. It's not business as usual either.
Yeah, and that's really great advice. If you get back to the person, if you can get back to the person, it sounded like they were, a lot of angst. Is this going to come through or not? And
yeah.
just to know that it will come through, but it's going to be later, perhaps is what they just need to hear.
Yes, yeah, and really they do need to hear back from someone at their financial institution. Either they've needed to push the closing date back because of the current situation or trying to figure out how to do that. It would just be nice if they had that increased communication.
You can join in, too, with your comments today, talking with Peggy Olive, financial capability specialist with the University of Wisconsin. Great to have her along. Questions for her, give a call at 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us. The email address is ideas@wpr.org. Love to hear from you. Wondering about unemployment benefits and who all is eligible. I think about people that I've gotten to know well in restaurants or shops, like barber shops, places like that. I mean, are they eligible? Who really is eligible?
Yes, yeah. And I will say we have a link to the unemployment insurance. Does have questions that are particularly related to COVID-19 in terms of who is eligible. So far their website has not crashed. They're keeping it up, but they have an unprecedented number of claims, over 3 million in the past week, which has never been seen before. And they have many questions in terms of, so we know about half of the workers out there are gig workers or entrepreneurs or consultants doing their own thing. And at this time, those individuals are not eligible for unemployment. There's talk in the current bill that's making its way through our congressional system. There's talk in terms of extending some unemployment benefits and resources to those individuals, since it's such a large portion of the population. And then there's other parameters in terms of you can apply, but you don't have to have like that official layoff if your business is closed or your hours are reduced, you know, please just go ahead and fill out an online application, you know, just to kind of start that ball rolling. And then one of the big questions is people say, well, I have to, there's usually a work requirement looking for work. And so there has been some lifting of that work requirement. You just have to be available for work, you know, if you're healthy or kind of on standing by or ready to return when your business is up and running again.
Talking with Peggy Olive today, financial capabilities specialist with the University of Wisconsin and UW Extension. I'm Larry Mueller. Jill Nadeau, our producer today. Bill Martin's our on-air producer. Tyler Ditter, our engineer. You're listening to the Ideas Network. Taking a look at how you can manage your finances during this COVID-19 crisis. Larry Mueller here with my guest, Peggy Olive, financial capability specialist with the UW-Madison School of Human Ecology and UW Extension. It's great to have her along. Questions, give a call at 800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org. And let's take another call. David in New Richmond, your turn. Hi, David.
Hi. Say, I think financial capability specialist, I think everybody listening that are concerned or unemployed should think about their financial capability. I've got a couple of neighbors that are recently unemployed, and the one was really worried about his future, and his skill is repairing equipment that is very specialized, and he works for another company, and he's telling me that he billed out over $400,000 worth of work off of his skill. And I said, what do you need to do that job? And he said, well, the tools that I already own and just the ability to get to the different work sites. And I said, well, if you look at what you brought to that company, what you were paid and what you billed out, what was the bigger number? And he made way less than what he billed out. And I think people should really look at who they were employed by, what they were brought to the table to that employer, and what their skill level is. And they might be surprised that their company might be charging X amount of dollars to do a skill level that you could do for less and still get a lot of work. And after this is all over, I think there's going to be a lot of opportunities for people to start their own businesses and realize their financial capabilities.
Well, David, thank you so much for calling. Comment on that, Peggy.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think so many times people do have a skill that they undervalue, and they really have a niche in the marketplace. And I also acknowledge that it takes a lot of different skills to be able to also manage your own business. Sometimes people are just prefer to work for somebody else, even if it means, you know, a reduction in that income. Say I don't even want to call it a bright spot, but I just want to applaud people's resilience of what I've seen in terms of, you know, some of the restaurants that have reduced hours or just have to do takeout. You know, they've just been nimble, putting menus online on their Facebook page, doing you can drive up, they'll run out with gloves on. I mean, so I just see people being so creative and, you know, stepping up to the plate to do what they can to keep things going. I heard about an art gallery that was just posting all of their art online. So, you know, just applauding people who have these marketable skills, who have the ideas, who are just, you know, plowing ahead, trying to do what they can do in this really unprecedented situation.
Yeah, and if nothing else, I think it's probably caused many, many, many people to kind of think about, well, what can I do? What else can I do? Can I start a new business? Can I change what I'm doing in such a way that I can still work and make money? It's, if nothing else, it's really caused probably all of us or many of us just to kind of reevaluate our own skills, as you say.
Yes, absolutely. And I do also just want to put like a caveat out there that beware of scams. It seems like, you know, the minute people are down, there's always someone to take advantage of that. So just be, you know, cautious of those work from home scams. You know, especially it's so tempting, and especially these days, and they are just out there proliferating. So, I mean, just to be cautious of any of those too good to be true offers that are showing up too.
We can take another call at 1-800-642-1234. Open lines get you on pretty quickly. Had an email from Art. He says he and his wife live on Social Security and investment income, but have little or no earned income. He's wondering if they qualify for the coronavirus payments that Congress is enacting.
So, there's the dust is not settled. The ink is not dry on that act yet. But many of those details still need to be worked out. I mean, basically, the payments will be based on 2018 tax filing. So looking at, they have not specified, you know, if that's earned income, if it's going to include any of the dividends or, you know, capital gains, any of that type of income. It would be income, for example, on your Social Security, you're paying taxes on that. So
that might be filtered.
It's considered income, yeah. And then I think we heard on the NewsHour that there will be some income limitations, too, in terms of how much people earned in 2018, $75,000 for individuals or $150,000 for a two-income earner household. And then it will be that amount will be phased out after that.
Yeah.
So we're still waiting for all the details. You know, if you didn't file taxes in 2018 because you didn't owe any, what's going to happen? Or, you know, all of those different details.
You know, I'm just on another topic. I'm wondering, what do you do or what should you do if your health insurance was covered by your employer and now you're out of a job?
Yes, absolutely. We're seeing that situation, too, for some people. So I guess just a place to start is that some of the options, if your spouse has lost their health insurance, the employer, the previous employer or where you've been laid off, must offer an individual that COBRA insurance, which is extending your insurance for that 18 months. But my caution with that is it's not cheap because now all of a sudden you're having to pick up that extra bill of paying for that health insurance. So I would just encourage everyone to go to start with. You can go to healthcare.gov. Because losing your job, losing your health insurance is considered a special event, and you can enroll in an open health care program, another health care program at any point during the year. So you can go to healthcare.gov to kind of help get assistance walking through and applying online. There's also accesswisconsin.gov, which where people can find out, in addition to health care, are there other benefits? Perhaps there's some supplemental nutrition assistance program, the SNAP benefits. Perhaps there's some heating assistance. So even going to accesswisconsin.gov, it's accesswi.gov, and looking at, that's a link to the health insurance, looking at a link to other benefits your household might now qualify for. You know, if your income has just dropped to zero, that's an opportunity to look for those other resources that you've been paying into for, you know, probably a long time.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we have other callers online. Maybe we should take some more calls. Reggie in Oshkosh, it's your turn. Hi, Reggie. Thank you for calling.
Hey, Larry. I just wanted to thank you guys for keep on working through all this, and I really appreciate that, first off.
Well, thank you.
And, no worries. And secondly, it's not directly related to what's going on right now, but I was involved in a debt consolidation fraud. Trashed my credit score, went down to like under 300. I had to file bankruptcy. I'm in a rent-to-own situation within a house, and I did the bankruptcy. I'm back up over 500 now, but I can't get a loan through a bank, and my landlord mentioned a something where an investor like buys my rent-to-own contract for a period of time, and I don't know much about how that works, and they don't know much about how that works. I was wondering if you had any information that you could offer on how that works.
Yes, yeah, and Reggie, I'm so sorry to hear that you had that experience. There, you know, there still are those debt consolidation frauds. There's, you know, I've seen people pay thousands of dollars to kind of a debt settlement agency, and then, you know, the agency disappears and they have nothing. So I'm sorry to hear you went through that. In terms of, you know, I've never heard of that somebody purchasing or stepping in to pay for somebody's kind of the rent to own or other, you know, similar housing arrangements. So I have some flags going up in my head. And I would encourage you to go to debtadvice.org.
Debtadvice.org.
Correct. Okay. And again, we have it linked on our website, but it's the National Foundation for Credit Counseling website. They have housing, you know, HUD-approved housing counselors. They have credit counselors. And I would just, before I did anything, I would want to run this past a nonprofit, legitimate credit counselor. And they can meet with people over the phone and just find out, is this even a reliable, trustworthy financial option or housing product?
And all these are listed. If you go to UW Extension Tough Times, that's where he could go to find all of the information.
Absolutely, we have the phone numbers, the links, some of the frequently asked questions,
and the specific one for that you just mentioned for Reggie was
debtadvice.org.
Debtadvice.org. Reggie, does that help?
Oh, it absolutely does. And once again, thank you guys for getting us through this every day.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling. Well, let's take another call. Stephen Ladysmith, it's your turn. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Say, just a quick question about the checks coming from our government. I have a dad that's retired. He doesn't file his taxes. He's just got a pension and Social Security. I've heard that every American gets a check, and then I heard you have to, they're going off of your last tax filing. So does he get a check or not?
That's still up in the air, isn't it, Peggy?
Yes, absolutely. The details that have been released have been they're going off the 2018 tax filing. I have not, it's not to say it's not in this act, but I have not yet heard anything about them, you know, going through Social Security rolls, or if an individual is, whether they're on Social Security retirement or Social Security disability. As I mentioned, some individuals, some low-income households, don't even make enough to have to file taxes or pay taxes, so they would have no tax record, and I don't know what provisions or what's going to be put in place for all of these households yet.
And they may,
I would hope something. But.
Yeah, I would hope something. You know, those are the households that may almost need it the most, you'd think.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there, we're still up in the air a little bit, Steve, but you can keep... keep checking on UW Extension Tough Times, that website. There, you're keeping that up to date, right up to the minute, aren't you?
Okay.
Yes, yes, we are. And there's one of the frequently asked questions, is the government going to mail me a check? So right now, we don't know what we have right in that question. Is just some cautions from the Federal Trade Commission at this point, that if anybody contacts you, the government is not going to ask for your bank account number, your credit card number, your Social Security number. You know, they most likely, from what they've shared so far, will use a direct deposit number that you had used in your 2018 filing. And then if you don't have that, they would mail a check to the household. You know, details to be worked out, but just know that you will not be asked for any of your personal information.
Anybody asks for that?
Sure.
Yeah, if anybody asks for that, just hang up. That's pretty much the standard.
Okay, well, thank you very much, you guys.
Thanks,
thank you,
Steve.
Much.
Yeah, appreciate it. Well, Sandy in Watertown up next. And I think the question Sandy had was pretty similar. She wondered about filing tax. She didn't file in 2018. Sandy, are you there?
Yes, I am, and I was just going to say it. Thank you both. God bless you both so much. I think you did just answer my question, ma'am. I just didn't know if I would fall through the cracks or if there's something I can. I did file this year, but extenuating circumstances, I did not. And I am one of those households, as you just mentioned, that I did.
Yeah.
And I would have gotten a return. You know, I did not owe. So I'm just wondering how that might work out. But I think you answered it. So thank you both so much for your program.
Thank you, Sandy. And again, I keep mentioning the UW Extension Tough Times website. Keep checking on that. But go ahead, Peggy, with a comment.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Steve and Sandy have me thinking because we don't want people to fall through the cracks as all of the details are being worked out. So I would encourage people to contact their local representatives and just say, hey, this is my situation. I just want to be, you know, kept up to speed on what's going to happen with individuals that, you know, don't fit these broad guidelines. So being proactive, you know, kind of being the squeaky wheel and just to know that you're out there. That's a great step you can take while we're waiting to find out more.
That is an excellent idea. I love that idea, Peggy. By the way, if you have a question, I hope you'll join in, 800-642-1234. You can email us at ideas@wpr.org. Liz in Wausau called in but couldn't stay on the line. She says a lot of people have a second job in an industry where they've been laid off. She says when she goes to the DWD website, it's unclear whether you're supposed to enter your total income, meaning from both jobs or just the job you lost. When she entered her part-time income, she said she wound up not qualifying for unemployment. The DWD couldn't really help her out because they're swamped.
Yeah, that is challenging. You know, I would say to go back in the process and put that part-time job that you've lost, because we know that, you know, if that didn't work, then put all of the hours that you'd been working total and then what they've been reduced to. Because we know people that if they're working less than full-time or less than their usual full-time could be eligible for unemployment to make up that difference. So it is more complicated when it's two different jobs. And if the experts at DWD are still working through that, I would say, you know, do what you can to try to get that application in. You know, if it was rejected the first time, enter it a different way just to get on the radar screen.
We've been we've had a number of questions about is it a good idea to take money out of your retirement account?
Yes. and that's, you know, we actually have that frequently asked question on our website, too. Because we did see this during the Great Recession. This was a source of income that people had worked hard to save up. And so the first stop I would encourage anyone to do is, you know, well, first off, we talked to the top of the hour is have your budget to know, you know, how much money you have, how much money you'll need, because you just don't want to be emptying out your account if you won't even need all of that money. So even figuring out how much you would need. And then I would say check with your individual retirement plan. They're all a little bit different. So, for example, a 401k or a 403b, the IRS has provisions, so you can make a hardship withdrawal for that immediate and heavy financial need, which, you know, if everyone in your household's been laid off, there you go. But there's also a really different provisions and different ways plans are set up. And then checking, you know, IRS.gov also, because there's different regulations around an IRA. So in terms of what you can use that money for, or especially if you're under 59 and a half. And then there's also different regulations around a Roth IRA. So if you have some money in a Roth IRA, you can withdraw some of that principal as long as you don't touch the interest, because that's your money to be able to use. So really check with your individual plan. Many of them are getting up to speed, posting more information on their website, because this is a frequently asked question. You know, do I want to tap into that money? And my first thought is, you know, you've worked hard to save that for your future. So just if you need some of that money now, just figure out how much you need just to get through this rough spot.
And Jean in Door County, your turn. Hi, Jean. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I have a question regarding the federal relief payments. In 2018, my husband retired and we were paid, he worked half a year. We were also paid for some furlough time that he had, and we also sold some real estate.
We had a federal adjusted gross income, which is significantly greater than our federal tax income, because we also had a very large carryover of a charitable contribution that we made. So we're wondering, now that our income is normal, if that subsidy that the government is talking about will be based on the federal adjusted gross income or the federal taxable income.
Huh.
Yeah, yeah. And that's a great question. And the details have not even shared that. You know, is this going to be adjusted income? There's also something we use for health care credits. That's the modified adjusted gross income. So they haven't released, you know, which number on the tax line will that be? So, again, details that we're still waiting to find out.
All right, so we don't know, we don't know yet how that's all going to turn out, Gene. But that UW Extension Tough Times website, if you just type in UW Extension Tough Times, you're going to be getting how often? That's updated right along, isn't it, Peggy?
Yes, you know, we're trying to keep up with any of the breaking news, any of the our national administrations, when they have different relief programs or moratoriums in place, we're adding links and updates to the site.
Steve in Madison has a question. Hi, Steve.
Hi. Thanks for having me on. I know since I tuned in, you've been covering mostly the issue of the individual check to individual people. Do you have information on the help for small business?
That's a good question. It's something I kind of brought up earlier, like a barbershop, for example, or any other small business owner.
Yes, absolutely. And we know this is going to be coming through in that next bill that's working its way through. And on our Tough Times website, we have links to the Small Business Administration for their low-interest disaster loans. So you can get the ball rolling. And I put some tips in there just based on what's been happening with the Small Business Administration. Their website has been having a large volume of traffic, no big surprise. So they really encourage you, if you're filling out your application online, save it frequently. You don't want to be accidentally booted off and lose your information. Try to visit the site early in the morning around 7 a.m. or at the end of the day, you know, after 5 p.m. And then also one of the kind of heads up that the Small Business Administration wants individuals to know is that if you have a freeze on your credit report, when you're applying for that disaster loan, they're going to need to check your credit. So we also put links on our website if you need to lift a credit freeze from any of the three bureaus. And, of course, you'll need your PIN or your information provided by the bureaus. So, and I also do want to highlight that, so that's federally. And here in Wisconsin, our Economic Development Corporation, they have a program specific to small businesses with 20 or less employees to help them, you know, cover rent, meet their payroll, cover paid leave. So we have a link to the WEDC Small Business 2020 grants. And then if you're, you know, not being able to get into websites, you're not sure where to go, we also have information about the Wisconsin Small Business Development Center. They're available to help small business owners, you know, navigate the federal, the state resources. I posted an 800 number, so if you're tired of websites and waiting and holds, you can just call their 800 number or email them, and they can help kind of help you navigate what's going to be some of the best options for you. And then I know we're going to be seeing more relief, more grants, not just loans, but more grants for small business owners coming through, hopefully in the near future.
Peggy, I think we're I'm hoping we can get you on again sooner rather than later.
Yeah, just a lot going on.
Lots going on, and I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it, and again, I hope we have a chance to visit again soon on the air.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, and I guess everyone just, you know, kind of stay tuned to our website and keep holding in there.
Yeah, thanks, Peggy. Peggy Olive is a financial capability specialist She holds a joint appointment with UW-Madison School of Human Ecology's Department of Consumer Science and the UW Center for Financial Security and the UW Division of Extension. So she knows a lot, and her that UW Extension Tough Times, that would be a good place to go as for all of the information that we've kind of talked about today. It's kind of distilled in there, and a lot of great places to click on to and get the help you need, and we'll try to do more of this as we go along here, because I think it helps me, and I hope it helps you as well. You know what else helps me once in a while is to sit down and read a good book. And I read a book recently that we're going to be talking about coming up next. And I did not think at all about COVID-19 or anything else when I was reading the book. And we'll be talking with the author of the book, A Game of Birds and Wolves, The Ingenious Young Women Whose Secret Board Game Helped Win World War II. That next. I'm Larry Mueller for the Ideas Network.
Here's a look at what's coming up this afternoon here on the Ideas Network. At 12:30 on Chapter a Day, Jim Fleming reads from Laurentian Divide, a novel by Sarah Stonich. Then join us from 1 till 3 for 1A. After 1, how far and how fast can American business be repurposed to help turn the tide against coronavirus? After 2, the Olympics and Paralympics are off, postponed for a year. But who now pays? The organizers, the broadcasters, or those going for the gold? And stay with us after 3 for Central Time, all here on the Ideas Network.
COVID-19 has changed daily life in the U.S., and with news breaking by the hour, it can be hard to stay up to date. I'm Ari Shapiro. Join us every weekday for a new live conversation about the disease, what you need to know, what's coming next, and we'll answer your questions. The National Conversation with All Things Considered from NPR News.
Tonight at 8 on the Ideas Network.